Welcome, Ross, to the Monday night speaker meeting. Ross is going to share his strength, hope, and experience with us tonight.
Come we win.
Now.
Hi, my name is Ross. I'm a very grateful, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ross. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you. 28 years ago, on September 5th, I walked into the rooms of the St. Cecilia meeting in Islip. And on the next day, September 6th, I received the gift of abstinence. And through the grace of God, I am abstaining one day at a time for 28 years. I am maintaining a weight loss of 75 to 80 pounds one day at a time. In late December, I don't know the exact date, it'll be 28 years. When qualifying and telling my story, I have come up, you know, it's hard to know exactly when you began to compulsively overeat. I do remember, you know, eating as a child, and I do remember as a child being described husky, and never chubby, but husky. I don't even hear that word anymore, but I was husky. But before I knew it, that being husky became to where I was, when I really realized that I had a problem with my weight, I don't really think I kind of like felt I had a problem with food. I had a problem with being fat, and I was 17 years old. And I was, I think, a junior in high school. And I remember very clearly being very conscious of my weight. And I remember a few times prior to 17, and I don't have a lot of memories, you know, until I became a teenager. But the one thing, and you know, every once in a while I want to hear people qualify and tell their story. I hear about it. And the one thing I do remember is back then when I was in grammar school, the nurse would come in. And I don't even know if it's done today, but there would be weigh-ins. And I remember that on a couple occasions being very embarrassed that my weight was said out loud. And you know, it's funny. When I went into other weight-losing organizations, I was in one that's, you know, very famous and still around. I remember that also, and I remember, you know, my weight being said, and I don't even know if that's done today, but I do remember that, and I remember kind of being ashamed, and I guess that's the first memory of being ashamed of myself. So there I was, 17. I was well over 200 pounds. I started to begin to really dislike myself in some ways, and that also started my career of dieting. And I think, and I was 31 when I came into the program, so usually when, you know, I'm able to put a time frame of 14 years of really basically dieting. And I feel that the majority of those 14 years was a constant battle with the food. And I really truly do believe that if I didn't fight that battle in some way, that my weight would be much higher than it was, and probably at the point I am now for my top weight, which was a couple of years before I walked into the room, it's about, I guess, about 95 pounds from what I am now. Another thing about my weight is not only did you not, if it was a period of time, not only did you not know what I would look like the next time you saw me, I didn't know what to look like. I would look like the next time you saw me, because my weight fluctuated, because as I said, I was 17 and that began the dieting, and I was taken to a diet doctor, and back then, it was a pretty long time ago, the diet doctors, what they would do is, and they were called diet doctors, I'm sure they were GPs, but they specialized in getting you thin, and they would put you on the diet pill. So we just knew it was a diet pill, or I knew it was a diet pill. I didn't realize it was an amphetamine. And that's exactly what the doctor did. He gave me a prescription for diet pills, and I took them. And I remember the weekend that I had it, or if it wasn't that weekend, it was the next weekend, I took my diet pill, And it was probably the last time I did it, but I went deep sea fishing and I got a severe case of sun poisoning. And I also got very, very sick, and it turned out that I had an allergic reaction to the diet pills. So that I remember the doctor saying to me and saying to my mother, because I didn't go alone, of course, I was 17, I went with my mother, and the doctor says, I fear you're allergic to these pills. You had an allergic reaction. I almost wound up in the hospital. I guess it was like a skin poisoning. It was a result of the pills in the sun. And he said, I'm going to take you off the pills. Now, we talk about as you progress throughout the years and you start, and as you abstain and as you begin to work this program, things come out and you realize that even then, when you might not think he did, God, my higher power, watched over me. And being such a compulsive personality, the fact that I didn't really get into the diet pills at that time was a good thing. Because anything that I've done, and food was primary drug of choice, I did compulsively. I may not do it every day, except for the food consumption and the sugar consumption, but if I certainly didn't do it every day, when I had it, I had to use what I had, and I had to do it quickly and compulsively. I guess for fear it won't be there. And so I got the diet, because certainly it wasn't a food plan, it was a diet that was given to me. My mentality was a diet mentality, and that was one of the things that I didn't realize when I walked into the room, the difference between a diet mentality and a food plan mentality, or a way of life. Food plan as a way of life. I certainly didn't understand it, and I think that, you know, that those feelings of being on a food plan as a way of life certainly didn't come overnight, and it's a culmination of many years of abstaining one day at a time and listening to people in these rooms and working the steps to the best of my ability and living the traditions as best as I can. That I came to that feeling that I am certainly different. I am not like a lot of people out there. And how I treat food, whether it's, a physical addiction or it's a mental addiction, I do feel it's both me personally. I am. So, I was 17 and I was in the doctor's office and I was taking off the diet pills. So I don't know if it was every 2 weeks or every month, but we went back. And, that began me losing weight for others. I was losing weight for my mother because she was paying for it. I was losing weight for the doctor, my policeman, because I didn't want to disappoint him. I didn't want to disappoint them. I wanted to lose weight, but I really didn't want to stop eating. And I really didn't want to diet. And I tell a story all the time. A year or two after I was in program, my mother attended one of my qualifications, and it was most likely an anniversary. And I started to share, and when I would talk about my first, the first time that I really could remember dieting, and kind of the way it started, I would always say, my mother dragged me to a diet doctor. And thank God she didn't raise her hand and jump up. But after the meeting, she said to me, Russ, I didn't drag you to the diet doctor. You begged me to take you. And I certainly at the time, after all those years, and it was probably 15 or so years from that point, I certainly just, I was being dragged, I didn't want to go. But even then, at 17 years old, I was calling out, I was asking for help, I was pleading, and I had taken it out of my mind. Well, that began a series of diets. It began two or three times going to weight-losing organizations. And the common thing was, especially when I would go to a place to lose weight, I would always want to go with someone. If I wasn't going with someone, I was going for someone. I was really if I said I was doing it for me, I really wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it for you. And as the years went by, and the dieting and the dieting and dieting, and truly, truly, if I gave up completely, I don't know where I would be. I truly do believe that I would have been in a worse state than I walked in the rooms. I was bad enough, and I certainly don't believe in looking for more of a bottom. When I walked in, I was at a bottom. If I walked in 2 weeks before coming into the rooms, would I have been ready? I really don't know. Thank God I was ready when I walked in. I certainly was ready to listen. And, you know, if you walk in to these rooms and you're not willing at least to listen, I truly do believe you're lost. So what happened over the 14 years, over the years it became harder and harder for me to diet to where I had successes. And I remember on a few occasions losing 40 or 50 pounds, or certainly losing 20 or 30 pounds. And I also do remember, you know, the mindset was back then, once a diet would end, I could go on to live, I could be, you know, I could be in a sense normal. And I also started to fantasize as the years go by, you know, that whatever my goal weight was, and it was a goal weight, you know, ideally, and I might not have said it to you, but ideally it would be to get a couple pounds, not even a couple, five pounds underweight. And then I would devise how I would put the weight back on and what I would have when the diet ended. I always had an end of the diet mentality. And that's what I did. And as I said, it got harder and harder to like to get on successful diets. And even when I was successful, I noticed one thing. I would never get down to the goal weight. I don't call it a goal weight, certainly now. I call it a normal weight. I would never get down. I would always be maybe 20 or 30 pounds, and I would consider that a great success, and I would look pretty good, you know, being 20 or 30 pounds more than I am now. And I didn't quite understand why. And over the years of working the program and doing a few fourth steps and, you know, searching myself and working with others, I came to the conclusion for me, and that's what I always say, if you are staying one day at a time, I strongly suggest, with all my heart, to talk to your sponsor and to get a weight, a normal weight, at least decide on it and get to it. Because I know for me, in leaving that 20 or 30 pounds at the times that I did, I still had an excuse. Because I really was convinced, especially as I was more obese and when I would get 70 or 80 pounds more than I am now at times, and like I said, it would go up and down to where you didn't like me because I was fat. And you won't go out with me because I was fat. And I didn't get that job because I was fat, or I didn't get that promotion because I was fat. And you know what? When I did get to a normal weight, you know what? There were still people who didn't like me. There were certainly women who wouldn't go out with me still. There was jobs I didn't get and promotions I didn't get. But guess what? It wasn't because I was fat. It was because it was me. So having this weight, having this built-in excuse, what it did was it allowed me not to reach my potential. I truly do believe in all my overeating and my consumption of sugar that I was a good person, but I never really reached the full potential, and I probably still haven't yet, and that's why I have to keep coming back and I have to live the steps and believe in the traditions one day at a time. So, this program has many gifts, and it does give you hope to reach your potential. In coming into, and I really intended with this qualification to go into order, but I could see I'm like, I may start to jump around things that I didn't say. It was very important to me not only to get a food plan, something I can refer with another person, and in that case with my sponsor. But something that I can live with one day at a time. And I and also with that came something that I can't stress more or suggest more strongly, to have a personal definition of abstinence. I have a lot there in compulsive overeating, and I'm not saying a word that I'm going to say later, because that word didn't come, you know, that acceptance of that word, the acceptance of being a compulsive overeating came to me pretty quickly after the first meeting or so. But this other word didn't come so quickly. And so it was really important to have a personal definition of abstinence, because compulsive overeating, the action is very gray. And we do need to eat one day at a time. We do need to eat to survive. And so I didn't say it, and I will say it. My definition of abstinence for me is three weighed and measured meals a day, nothing in between, abstain from sugar and white bread flour. And that is it. When I came into this program, I started weighing and measuring. I might stop. I haven't in 28 years, but I might. I don't know. But not for today. So, anyway, the one thing that did happen was that things started to get worse as far as my eating. And the way I ate started to get worse. And other things that I did compulsively, including drinking compulsively, and even smoking pot compulsively. You know, the one thing I did was when I had the pot, it would be gone quickly. You know, I would never really have a stash. And me hiding food, I mean, or having stashes of food, I couldn't even believe how anybody could do it. Because when I thought I had to have it, and I had to have it quick, I developed a lot of traits of developing a secret eater. I was a binge eater. I tried to act like I wasn't eating. I would try not to eat so much in front of you. And I remember as the years went by, people would say, and then people would come in the family, and they would say, you know, I don't know how you gain this weight and how sometimes you're so overweight. They probably didn't say that. I probably said fat. And they said, because you eat nothing in front of me. Well, in front of them, I didn't. And I would say, you know, and I heard the word metabolism, so I kind of grasped on things, and I grasped on, like, well, I must have a slow metabolism. No, I'm a secret eater. I would fantasize when I could be by myself and eat. I would fantasize when I could be. And, you know, when you come into program, it is suggested, and there's an assignment of writing that's given, and you write a history of your obesity. And I learned that through writing that, over the years, what happened was it got worse. And the compulsive overeating got progressive. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I was married very young, and, when I was dating my wife, my first marriage, I had lost some weight. I was the attraction quickly. And one of my biggest enemies to anything, certainly in this program, to my abstinence, to my recovery, is complacency. I would take things for granted. I would take them, and I would let them go, the ability to see my kids all the time, the ability to have people love me for me, all that stuff. You know, I took that for granted. And when I lost it, I wanted to get it back, but I had it, but I never realized that I had it. So, and it was funny, I got divorced within 6 years and had two small children, and that was very hurtful. And I didn't really know where to go, so I moved into my mother for a few months, and she was and it was like, that didn't work. So I moved, I found a roommate through a mutual friend, and it was funny. I won't judge that he was an alcoholic, but boy, he drank a lot. And it was funny, during that year, so did I. And, you know, I've told my drinking stories to people in AA, and they said, you know, maybe, and this was in the beginning, maybe you should go to our meetings too. Well, for me, I was fortunate because I found out something, and it is very tempting when you get a definition of abstinence thing. It's very tempting to include a lot of things. But if you include so much into it, like, you know, okay, well, I won't have Diet Gum, and I won't have this, and I won't have that. You tend to kind of make it, you really kind of have to do basics to where three ways to measure, whatever your definition is, keep it simple. But the one thing I did include in my definition of abstinence, I didn't say it when I first defined it, really two things, alcohol and recreational drugs. It's a moot point, you know, in a sense it's a moot point. Any of those, including the sugar, including compulsive eating, any of that, I am not abstinent. And for me, I needed to define my abstinence because I really needed to know. You know, it sounds like a silly thing. Well, you mean you know you're not abstinent? You know what? You know, for me, I need a little black and white in something that we have is gray. And so, as I was coming into the rooms, as I wasn't even thinking of these rooms, as the years went by, in the beginning I could go a month maybe on a diet. You know, then I could go a couple weeks. Then it got to a point where I could go maybe a week. But then it got to a point where I really started to have a problem even stringing days together. And I also remember things. And what happened was, after that roommate, I took the leap and then moved in by myself. And being a secret eater, this was like, you know, in a sick way, you know, paradise. In a sick way. Because I really didn't have to answer. I would just have the kids on the weekend. I didn't really have to answer it. And my behavior became kind of more crazier and crazier, and insane as usual. And I remember some things that I did that I didn't do before, and I remember I was eating compulsively till my stomach hurt. And I remember on many occasions waking up like I had a hangover, which I did, from sugar. And I remember having a box of stuff, and I kind of like, I couldn't stand myself anymore, and I think I was drinking too, and I really felt horrible, and I had that food, and I took that box, and I threw it in the garbage. And then I fell asleep for a couple hours, and I woke up, and I wasn't bloated anymore, and I was feeling slightly better. And as I went in the garbage after that food, I started to say, the hatred, the self-hatred, just, I remember at that point and how I was telling myself, it didn't stop me from eating, but I was telling myself how sick I was. And I also remember kind of like, got so bad at work, everybody was recruiting me to diet, like I was biggest person. I wasn't, but I felt everybody was picking on me, that I would eat my stuff, you know, out of my pocket, and I would eat it in the bathroom, and I would go to different areas so people didn't see me, and they didn't come to me, because they kept coming to me. I felt like everybody was coming to me. I to recruit somebody else to be thin. Why me? And I also remember, you know, like, finding food that was like 2-3 weeks old in my car and eating it. And I remember, you know, scraping pans and the crap that was from pans I didn't clean and eating that. And just, you know, more things that were degrading stuff. You know, and the more degrading stuff you do, the easier it is to really degrade you. And my esteem was as low as it could be at times. But being a compulsive personality, I learned that that is an extreme. And we go from one, anyway, I went from one extreme to the other, and it would be to where I am the lowest of the low, lower than an amoeba, to where I am better than everybody in this room, and that could have been in 5 minutes. I was going everywhere. And I had met somebody, and I remember I had, you know, was only 20 or 30 pounds overweight, and she, and I thought she might be the one, because I was, you know, saying, well, maybe I'd like to be married again, I guess, or anyway, I was going to be serious with her. And I remember she patted me once and she said, I love a man with a stomach. It's like somebody with a pillow. So quickly, I gave her 2 pillows. And that's all you had to do was accept me, and boom, the weight came on. I remember picking the kids once, and my ex-wife looked at me, and I was probably at that point had gained 20 or 30 more pounds, where I was maybe 50 or so pounds overweight. And my ex-wife said, I could tell you're dating someone. And I knew exactly what she meant. I didn't admit it maybe at the time, but I did it to her. And, you know, it was when I felt you had to love me and accept me that I didn't care what I did to myself. So anyway, I got to a point where I went on a diet bed at work. And this is the last episode of that I remember, of that kind of thing, dieting, really. And I gave up halfway through it. A little earlier than that, somebody at work came up to me and they said, you know, I watch the way you eat. And I never forget him saying that. I probably said to myself, yeah, another one. It's like a drive to get rusted in. They must like sit in tables and watch me eat. And he had told me about a thing called OA, and I kind of like, I resented it in a sense, but I didn't let him know it. And I heard that this guy looked is a motorcycle guy, and beer was here, and I heard he drank like crazy, and, you know, what a nerve. So anyway, I kind of said, no, well, I appreciate it, but I'm on this diet, so just put grapefruit and stuff, and it's with the grapefruit diet, and it's working. Well, I broke up with that person, or we had a fight, and the weight came back, and I remember walking in, and this is, you know, I need to keep my memory green. I need to remember all this stuff. And I went into the bathroom at work, or the locker room, and I found someone who was more, I always look for people more obese than myself that are in me, because, you know, in their misery, I had some solitude. I felt a little more comfort not being as big as they are. And I said, you know, Andy, I really truly do believe that God has made some people to be fat, and there's nothing you could do about it. And he agreed. What else was he going to do? So we both agreed. And that was the beginning of surrender. But that was a terrible surrender, because it was a surrender with no real acceptance. But worse than that, it was a surrender with no action. It was a surrender with nothing but surrendering. And I truly do believe that if I surrendered completely the compulsive overeating, the 240 pounds or so that I was at my top weight, it would have went into 300. And I always had that fear. If I ever hit 300, I'll, you know, and I would have. And I have no doubt in my mind. And I was really getting sick of myself. And believe it or not, I don't know how, I don't know who. Well, maybe I kind of know who. Good old HP planted OA. And I looked it up in the phone book, and I found a meeting, and it was St. Cecilia's. And I went up to that guy that day, and it was Tuesday after Labor Day. And I said, Mike, I'm going to try an OA meeting. I don't know if I said it exactly like that, but I said, I'm going to. And he said, Russ, I'll go with you. And I still don't know why he would say that. And I said, no, I'm going to go myself. And I didn't know. That wasn't me talking, because I wanted to go with people. It was just not typical for me not to jump on him, but I was embarrassed. And I walked in, and I was taken back. These St. Cecilia's were big meetings, and there were 50 or 60 people, and there's a St. Cecilia alumni with me tonight, and so it could be intimidating, and like it was 95% women, but that's okay. I was used to the other weight losing organizations. I was used to that, so that was no problem. But I heard a lot of God stuff, and I got scared. And I kind of, I immediately associated in my mind, I say immediately, this is in the course, these were 2-hour meetings, so it was in the course of that time to where I said, you know, this is religious, and I knew some people, and I don't know. But I kind of like was so desperate. I was so at the end. I just didn't know what to do, where to go, where to turn. And you know what? A couple of years ago, somebody told me about OA, but I wasn't ready. For whatever reason, I was ready. And they were talking. And they were talking about, you know, higher power. And they were talking about these things called steps. And it was they were patterned after a program called AA, which I've heard, of course, when I came in. Then they said the word. The word I had a problem. The word I couldn't say aloud for several meetings. I didn't have a problem with compulsive overeating because I knew what I did was different. But I had a problem with this word. And it was disease. The disease of compulsive overeating. I didn't want to give it that much. I didn't want to give it that much importance. Diseases kill. Diseases, they just rip apart the body. They change. And with diseases, sometimes they're not curable. sometimes they only go in remission. Sometimes you have to take your medicine every day. And you know I do. And it's my abstinence. I came up with a lot of views and inner balance. That's what's great about this program. I don't think I ever doubted once I knew what a compulsive overeater that I was one. And I accepted that as a disease. And I also understood that there was something I had to do on a daily basis, which, as I said, was my abstinence. For what I do one day at a time, for a lot of people, when I tell it, it's kind of extreme. Extreme remedies, extreme measures for extreme diseases and their remedies. So the disease of compulsive overeating is very, very, it's deadly in an active way. I truly believe it kills. I truly believe it kills like other substances, but I think it takes longer. I think at times it's more accepted than others, but I truly do believe it does the same thing. I have no doubt in my mind it kills. I have no doubt in my mind that it rips apart family. I have no doubt in mind that it destroys self-images. I have none. I have no doubt in my mind that I am a compulsive overeater. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. And years ago, there was a little semantic thing to where people would say they were recovered, because Big Book says that. And then there were people like myself that would say recovering. And I would bristle if I heard somebody say they were recovered. Until I thought about it, and I went up to a person who said they were recovered, and I said, what would make you not recovered? Well, if I broke my abstinence and I ate compulsively. And you go up to me, a recovering person, and what would make you not recovering? If I ate compulsively and broke my abstinence. So it's the same. So for me, I needed to have it kind of in more of an active. I didn't want to call it past tense, but if you do, that's fine, because it is a daily reprieve from the disease of compulsive overeating. I truly do believe I am a compulsive overeater. The day I think I am not a compulsive overeater, that's the day I truly believe I'll be an active compulsive overeater. I am in remission. I had people come up to me and said, Ross, you used to be a compulsive overeater. Well, if I start to think I used to be, I will be a very active one again. I've had people come up to me and said, do you truly do believe that if you had that first bite, compulsive bite, if you had that piece of sugar, if you had that, do you truly believe that you would start to eat again, that your weight would come back? I go, yeah, I do. Abstinence is the most important thing in my life. It is not the only thing. When I came into this program, I had a diet mentality. I try and be very aware of certain words. I don't slip. I can't afford. I haven't been good. For me, I am or I'm not. I'm absent or not. I needed to have that. See, I needed to know, and that's why I needed. Now, not to say that, if we're talking about, maybe committed one thing and I had another thing. You talk to a sponsor, another experienced OA, preferably your sponsor. And really let them, you talk about your abstinence. Because I've had babies or sponsorees ask me. And I said, let's talk about it. And, I would say, listen, I'm listening to you. No, I don't believe you broke your abstinence. So you might need a person. But I'll tell you what, if they came to me and I said I had that piece of sugar-related thing, I go, yeah, you did. And you need to have that honesty. This is a program of honesty. And I am going to be told when I have 5 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because there's a couple things I just want to include with that are very important to me. But I'll tell you, that was another thing. I was very fortunate. This was a big meeting. And that's my 5 minutes. Well, you know what? I was able to get a sponsor, but I was turned down by a man, but he didn't say he was available. And I was very fortunate, and I picked up the food plan. They were giving you a choice like they are now, pamphlets like they have now. They've been reissued. And I committed for the next day. And, I always, joke about it, but that's how I treated every diet that I began. I always had a last supper to where I would, just eat what I wanted to get it out of my system until the diet ended. And I did exactly that because when I walked out, I knew it was different, but I still had that diet mentality that I was going to, and I did. And I went to the supermarket and I bought all this crap, and at the end of it, I always tell it, I had 2 bottles of diet soda because I wanted the person checking me out to actually think like she would, that this poor guy is on a diet because he's very fat. And look at all the junk food he's buying for his family. But he's on a diet, there's a diet soda. And I would think that. I would think everything revolved around my weight. And they were all looking at me. And it got it was such crazy thinking. And I went up to, a few weeks later. Oh, and by the way, that gift, I committed for Wednesday and one day at a time. I've had that gift, as I said before, for 28 years. I went up to Mike a few weeks and I said, Mike, how'd you even know about OA? And he said, Ross, I'm an AA. And I see his brother all the time. Mike has since retired, and I believe he has one day at a time, over 30 years of sobriety. His brother has 25 years. I don't see Mike anymore, but I see his brother, and he is going to work some steps with me. And I'm very fortunate to have that person in there. Now, in conclusion, some things I want to say. I treat this recovery as my last one. I've been saying it for years, and I truly do believe it with all my heart. But I really don't know if it is. I could give this qualification, and I'm abstinent today, give this qualification on the way home, eat. And then in the day, realize what I did, and turn it over, recommit to the first step, which is the only one I have to take perfectly, meaning I have to truly believe in all my heart I am powerless over food, and my life is unmanageable. I have to believe that on a daily basis. And the other steps, they're works in progress. And maybe it'll take a week, and I'll have another 28 years. Or maybe it'll take a month, or maybe it'll take a year, or maybe I will not get back what I have today. I choose today to keep the gift of abstinence one day at a time. Another concept that I heard at a meeting a couple years after I began, somebody said, I intend to be abstinent one day at a time for the rest of my life. And being to where 2 months seems a long time to be on a diet, that concept can be very scary. But I choose to say it, that one day at a time, I intend to be abstinent for the rest of my life. It's very important to me. I talked about the first combustible and the power I believe it has. And I used to say I fear the first compulsive bite, and somebody came up to me and says, this is a program of trust in your higher power. In the meeting, in fellow awaiters, you really... So I said, I have a healthy fear. But then it came up with another word. I respect the power of the first compulsive bite. I respect what it can do. It's not a good thing, but I respect the power. And I'd like to conclude that I know about everybody in this room, but I really don't know what happened today as far as your food. I don't know what happened last week. I don't know what happened before the meeting. I really don't know. I don't know really. Oh, and another concept that I truly do believe, and since I'm about out of time, I truly do believe there is recovery after relapse. And keep coming back. Unless you're at the bus depot, you ain't going to catch that bus. Recovery is in these rooms. And as far as the simplest definition of compulsive overeating is eating. Compulsive. There is nobody in this room eating. As far as I'm concerned, as me, everybody in this room is absent. With all my heart, I hope you take that gift of absence and take it home with you and have it one day at a time for the rest of your life. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So if anybody would like to ask Ross a question.
Hi, Mama, it's definitely a food addict.
Hello. Stephanie, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your qualification. I haven't heard you in a while, and it was wonderful to hear. When you go out to restaurants, do you measure there?
I developed a measuring system, and I don't bring my scales to restaurants. I think I did maybe in the first year. What I do is I'm very fortunate to have someone with me, my wife, and I would ask, does this look like whatever increment I'm having at that meal? And then I do one thing. There's always plates around. I take it, and it's off the plate. What's off the plate is not mine. So I take a plate, and I take the food that isn't mine, and then, in a sense, I measured it, and I put it to the side. And I never go to that plate again. I just have what's on the plate. So that's how I measure in a restaurant.
Kathy,
Motion
Liberty, Carbohydrate
Addict. Hi, Kathy.
Thank you so much for your share.
You're welcome.
How do you deal with people who maybe look at your physical recovery and have a hard time comprehending that you're a compulsive overeater?
That has recently happened. I work with a new set of guys, and they make fun of me, and I bring my food in for lunch and to work, and it's already measured, and about the type of things that I'm eating. I'm eating a certain way to help me control my cholesterol. So they kind of like make fun of that. They said something to me Friday. They were eating something that you buy and it looks like a castle and it's white. And the aroma gets you, and you know, even though it's been over 28 years, and it has, and one guy said to me, they offered it to me, and they knew it, and I said, no, I won't take it. And he said to me, and you know how guys are, he said, well, what if I take it and stuff it down your throat? I said, that's the only way it'll happen. And that's how I answer that stuff. Sometimes, you know, it depends on who's asking. If somebody really cares and I feel they're struggling and they may have a problem with food, I'll answer in a different way. But what I told him is that is the only way to be forced, because for today I will not.
I'm Nick. I'm a compulsive overeater. Before, Ross, you mentioned about the it being a disease. And I've heard people in the rooms, and I sometimes myself consider myself a sick person. Do you consider yourself a sick person?
In remission, I do. I absolutely do feel it. I think that people who are in remission and take medication to control it one day at a time, they might not think it, but they are controlling it one day at a time, they are sick. I really do. And I would love to tell you that the compulsive personality never rears its ugly head, but it does. And, you know, but I don't need to take that compulsive personality and celebrate it with food and sugar. Not today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking.